being a mechanic, our Father, King. Father, we thank you that we can come together and study your word. I thank you, Father, that you give us revelation, knowledge in your word, and your word is alive and powerful than any two-edged sword. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father. Father, I just thank you for your anointing, Father, that you anoint our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our heart to receive what you would speak to us from your word. In Yeshua's name, amen. Now, when I was preparing this particular lesson on chapter 7, I couldn't help but see how, as I was studying this, that it really applies to America today. Even though, as we go back, it's God's dealing with Israel because of the apostasy they were into, we see the same thing happening today in this country. And as I'm reading these scriptures, I mean, the Ruach was just, you know, to show me how this really pertains, you know, to America today. So let's start. Hosea, and again, everything is up here on the screen. So Hosea 7:1, when I would have healed Israel, the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered, even the wickedness of Samaria, for they practiced fraud. So a thief breaks in, a marauding band will raid outside. And when I saw that, I couldn't help. And that scripture just quickened to me. What's happening in the United States today? A marauding band is trying to cross the borders, yeah. Terrorists, you know, illegals, drugs to, you know, come in. Not just a few people, but droves, like a band of people. And again, when I saw that, it just like, wow, I says, you know, I really believe you're speaking to us about what's going on in the United States today. It's a quote from Tri Asar. Alternatively, the revelation of the sin of Ephraim, etc., is part of the healing process. When I come to cure the nation of Israel, I do so like an expert physician who opens up the wound in order to reveal the infection within and remove it, rather than merely covering it over with bandages. You know, and again, too, God deals with us, too, by getting to the heart of the matter, not just covering it over, but opening up those wounds inside, revealing to us so we could receive healing, not just covering it over. Thus, those iniquities which they have hitherto managed to keep hidden, thereby allowing them to profess their righteousness in public, shall soon be brought out in the open for all to see in order to ultimately bring about their repentance and subsequent salvation. So here, you know, we have people proclaiming death, yet claiming to be righteous. Now, today is a day of mourning for the unborn. You know, and everybody is joining together in prayer. We're going to be praying afterwards for the unborn because we have to stand for righteousness and justice.
Amen.
You know, if we, just like Bridget Gabriel said in her book, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but she says, you know what, the majority can be peaceful, but it doesn't mean anything if they're silent. She goes, you know, just like, yeah, there are a lot of peaceful Muslims, but if they say nothing, if they don't stand against terrorism, it doesn't mean a thing. In Nazi Germany, there was, you know, peaceful Germans, but they didn't say anything and it didn't mean a thing. You know, so we need to make our voices hidden. It's not like, okay, well, I believe in my heart abortion's wrong. Well, you know what? Then we need to make our voice known, because if we don't, the minority is going to be heard and not the majority.
That's right.
So let's look at Ecclesiastes. Everything's up here. So Ecclesiastic 12:14, for God shall bring every work into the judgment concerning every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Matthew 10:26, so do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be made known. And Mark 4:22, for there is nothing hidden that will be revealed, nor anything kept secret except that it would come to light. You know, and that's my prayer too. Father, you know, what's hidden in secret, bring it to the light. If there's terrorism plots, bring it to the light. If there's, you know, plots of evil against, you know, this country, bring it to the light. And I believe the Father is. Hosea 7:2, but they never admit in their heart that I remember all their evil. Now their deeds are all around them. They are right before my face. Again, I was thinking about America. How we see just evil just being accepted as good and good being called evil. I mean, it's all around, and yet, you know, the people say, well, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with this evil. as the commentary Triasar, they do not take to heart that all the evil is inscribed in my memory, and they therefore feel free to pursue their corrupt ways without restraint. Indeed, they have immersed themselves in sin so completely that they are totally surrounded by their transgressions. Accordingly, when their punishment shall befall them, they will finally recognize that their wicked deeds were done before my face, and it is I who is requiting them of their sins. The evil inclination that arouses them to adultery rests from his incitement only for the short while and from the kneading of the dough. From the time they formulate a plan for carrying out the desires until leavening, until it's actually brought to fruition. So here, again, you know, you need the dough to work that yeast in it. And that yeast, you know, when it sits, it causes it to rise. Well, in scriptures, leaven, yeast, is sin. You know, so here it says you're formulating this plan to carry out your desires. Again, I see this in this country. And again, as I was studying this, you know, the Father was showing me, you know, this is a word of warning to America. Now, I'm believing with all my heart, and I'm sure you are too, we want to see revival. We want to see God's Spirit take over this country, not the evil. You know, there are two wills at work in the earth, God's will and Satan's will.
Amen.
You know, Satan's will is, I will do this. I will be God. I will raise myself above the Most High. I will be worshipped. You know, the will of God is, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, so it is, like I said last week, it is our job to see that God's will is done on earth and not just to sit back and, you know, let Satan's will happen on earth. So let's go on. This is Matthew 5:27-32. You have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that everyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So Yeshua is saying that sin is first contemplated within, and it's meditated upon, and it's thought upon, and plans are made. And, you know, well, what if I, you know, nobody will ever know. What if I just take her out for coffee or go out with him for coffee or whatever, you know, whether it's male or female, both can commit, you know, do it. And Yeshua says it starts in the heart. If you're already contemplating in your heart, guess what? It is already that you've done it, because if you don't repent, you're going to follow through with the action.
Amen.
And if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you that one part of your body should be destroyed than that your whole body be thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you that one part of your body should be destroyed than your whole body go into Gehenna. Again, Gehenna is a word for hell, Sheol, you know, place of punishment. I did a whole teaching on that, so I don't want to go into it now. But this is actually a Hebrew idiom. You know, I used to think about that. Well, you know, it can't be literally gouging your eyes or cutting your hands off, because we'd all be blind and handless. You know, what it is, it's a Hebrew idiom. Deal with the sin while it is small before it comes too big and it overtakes you. Now, back then, they knew what he was talking about because they understood Hebrew idioms. It was a way of saying something, you know, kind of giving the example of, because again, what causes us to stumble a lot of times? Our eyes, what we're looking at, what we're seeing, you know, and then the hand, you know, are we putting action to that? Are we picking up that book we shouldn't be looking at? Are we turning to that channel? Again, it takes the hand to do that. And Yeshua says, we need to deal with our heart sins, you know, and this country, again, this stuff just didn't happen overnight. It has been planned for years and years and years. It's been thought of. It's been plotted out. You know, again, people saying, well, you're being political. No, I'm standing for righteousness. I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican. We are to stand for righteousness.
Right.
You know, but I have never seen more evil rising up in government like I have today. You know, it's just like I'm thinking and seeing the evil in the world and seeing, you know, the things that people are accepting as normal. Matthew 5:31, it was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So here we see Yeshua is even stricter on Torah interpretation than even some of the rabbis of his time. Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree rotten and its fruit rotten, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? From out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. The good man from his good treasury brings forth good, and the evil man from his evil treasury brings forth evil. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will give account of every careless word that they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. For the heart of this people has become dull. This is Matthew 13:15. For the heart of this people has become dull. Their ears can barely hear, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts. Then they would turn back, and I would heal them. Again, the same message of Hosea. You know, repent, turn away from your sins. But blessed, now here's Yeshua speaking to us, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I tell you, many a prophet and tzaddik longed to see what you are seeing and did not see, and to hear what you are hearing and did not hear. Again, it says, we will know the tree by its fruit. Just because somebody calls them a pastor, if they're standing for evil, they're showing what their fruit is. I've seen pictures of, there's a group of pastors from different denominations that were going out to bless abortion clinics, to bless them. Now, is that a fruit of a godly person? There was another minister who said that, you know, that abortion was a good thing. It was a blessing. He was doing God's will. I'm like, really? Again, you shall know them by their fruit. I don't care what kind of title they have. If they are speaking contrary and standing against the word,
right,
that isn't the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
That isn't the fruit of the word. We need to be discerning in the days we're living in.
Amen.
You know, we need to be careful what we're hearing, because there's a lot of, you know, talk out in the, especially now, we could, you know, there's so many voices shouting at us from the TV, from the internet, from YouTube, and you have to be discerning who you listen to and what they're saying, because words are powerful. Somebody can speak to you and try to cause doubt in your heart, try to cause you to doubt, you know, Messiah. So we need to guard ourselves, we need to protect ourselves, and we need to be built up with the word of God so that we don't fall, so we don't stumble. Hosea 7:5-6. On the day of our king, princes become sick from wine. His hand drags scorners along, for their hearts are like an oven as they wait an ambush. All night their anger smolders. In the morning it burns like a blazing fire. Again, here, thinking evil, planning evil, having it build up in the heart until it manifests in the flesh. Trey Asar, at that time the king withdrew his hand from those who were good and righteous and joined instead with the scoffers. Again, we see how leadership affects the spiritual climate of a nation. You know, but that doesn't mean because they're going that way, we have to go that way too. You know, it's like we've got, you know, common sense and free will. And even in Israel, there was still a remnant that, you know, believed God and stood with God. But unfortunately, the majority refused to repent, so judgment had to come. But God, I believe, protected those righteous, even in, you know, when they went into Babylon and, you know, into Assyria. Well, we know the northern tribes assimilated, but God knows how to protect his people. Proverbs, I'm going to read Proverbs 1:22-33. How long will you naive ones love simplicity? You scoffers delight in scoffing, and you fools hate knowledge. You are repulsed at my rebuke. Behold, I pour out my heart to you. I will make my words known to you. Because you refused when I call and did not pay attention when I stretched out my hand. Since you ignore all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when dread comes on you. When your terror comes like a storm and your calamity sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when trouble and distress overwhelm you. Then they will cry out to me, but I will not answer. They will earnestly seek me, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Adonai. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they will eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own schemes. For the backsliding of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever pays attention to me will live securely and be free from fear of evil. This is our hiding place. This is our place of security, where we pay attention to him. When we are obedient to him, we will be free from fear of evil. So here, you know, through the words of Solomon, God is, and you can see, you know, prophetically, as we study the prophets, that, you know, the prophets would tell them, you know, bring their sin to the light, what they thought was hidden, bringing it to the light, letting them know that, you know, if they repent, judgment, you know, God will turn the judgment around, but the majority refused. They didn't want to hear the prophets. They didn't want to be corrected. They want to, you know, say, you know, oh, it's not going to happen. And again, do we see this in this country? Yes, we see scoffers. We see people thinking, God's not going to judge this country. You know, I mean, I believe that God is giving us a window of opportunity here as believers, a window of opportunity to and pray for revival in the land, come to pray, you know, pray for restoration. But, you know, I believe there's going to be that if this country does not turn around, if God just lifts his hand, that's all it'll take.
Amen.
You know, and God, I really believe God chose this land to bring forth the gospel.
Amen.
You know, he had a plan. No, is it perfect? No, of course not, because you know, sinful men run it, even though, you know, they try to do what's right. But still, God, America has been the source of spreading the gospel more than any other country, printing books and helping people, helping countries all over the world. I mean, it's been a source of why? Because it was founded on godly principles. And what the enemy is trying to do is bring in people to bring us into bondage. You know why? Because his will wants to be done. His will is socialism. His will is anti, you know, believers, anti-Christian, anti-Bible. But you know what? We need to stand for righteousness. We need to come to repentance. You know, and that's every pastor, every leader, every person, every one single, you know, individual needs to come to repentance. Now, you know, Minister Scott, he had, you know, God had spoken something to him, and he's not one that says, you know, every day, oh, God told me this, oh, God told me that. But he was praying in the Spirit. He was outside, and he was just, you know, praying in the Spirit, praying, you know, praising God and praying with him, to him. And all, you know, all of a sudden, you know, God just spoke to his heart and said, a great earthquake is coming. And that's all he said. Now, that can mean a lot of things. You know, it can mean both natural and spiritual, because a lot of times when something happens in the natural, it also has a spiritual connotation. Okay? We know that when judgment, when catastrophe happens, all of a sudden, people have time for God.
Yeah.
Look at 9/11. Everybody had flags. Everybody was filling the churches. You know, and now it's like we're inviting the same people that, you know, murdered over 3,000 people. Oh, come on in. You know, it's like, come on in. You know, you can live off the land free. You know, we'll just let, you know, the American people pay for your way. And it's like, uh-uh. You know, hallelujah, praise you, Father. But we need to, again, pray and intercede. You know, and I was thinking about this. Well, there's a lot of different possible things. I mean, there's a fault in California. There's an earthquake fault that runs straight up from Missouri all the way up through to Chicago. Could be a tsunami in New York. I mean, we don't know. An earthquake in water, we don't know. But whatever it is, it's going to shake people up.
Yeah.
It's going to shake people up to realize that they better get their life ready with God. Amen. You know, and again, we're not saying we don't know when, or but there is a great shaking. And again, it could be in the natural, but it seems that the natural and the spiritual work together, you know. So we need to pray, Father. You know, we need our voices to make our voices known for the babies standing against this abortion. You know, for they're trying to pass the law in, I think, New Mexico for euthanasia to, you know, assisted suicide for the elderly. You know, of course, if you don't respect babies, you're sure not going to respect somebody who's old and you feels a burden.
That's right.
You know, people thought, you think, oh, that would never happen. Well, guess what? It's happening. Only by a handful of evil people. because people didn't listen to God when they voted. You know, again, our vote counts. And I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat. It's like, we need to stand up for God's righteousness and his principles. You know, we need to be biblically correct, not politically correct. And I'm going to play a couple little clips for you at the end of my teaching that won't be a part of this, but I wanted to share with you. So again, God has been so merciful to this country. Why? Because we have been predominantly a Judeo-Christian country based upon the commandments of Yahweh. But even now we see churches, you know, not every church, you know, but we see younger ministers rising up who are saying, you don't need to obey the Ten Commandments. You know, you don't need that. You know, Yeshua did away with it. Oh, really? What Bible are you reading? You know, it's like the entire Word of God is applicable from Genesis to Revelation. You know, his Torah, his law. Yes, some things, you know, the way he did things back then isn't done now, but, you know, his moral laws are still in place. And when you have people in the church telling you you don't have to believe the law of God, you know what? You're in trouble then. Again, we need to be discerning. There are a lot of godly ministers out there who are making their voices heard, you know, that are teaching the truth, that are small places like us or larger, that, you know, they're not the ones people are seeing, you know, but we need to, you know, if there's a petition, you know, sent around by somebody like Jay Sekulow or Bridget Gabriel, we need to sign those petitions and make them known. We need to make our voice. There's a lot of little things we can do. I contacted our representative regarding the abortion law they're trying to push in Illinois. Of course, I got a pat answer back, you know, that, well, I'm sorry, blah, 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 but I'm, you know, standing for this because it's right up. But you know what? I made my voice known, and God heard that I made my voice known. You know, but we can still continue to pray and intercede. Proverbs 3:34, though he scoffs at the scoffers, he gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Thank the Father for his grace to us, his favor. Proverbs 14:6, a scoffer seeks wisdom, yet he finds none, but knowledge is easy to the discerning. Acts 13:39-40, through this one, everyone who keeps trusting is made righteousness. Who's that one? Yeshua. Be careful then, so that what is said in the prophets may not come upon you. Again, referring back to the prophets. The prophets are still speaking today. They were speaking to ancient Israel, and they are speaking to God's people today. Why? Because, you know, human nature doesn't change. We see, you know, just as Israel got into apostasy and pagan worship and doing things that are contrary to Torah, we see the same thing creeping into churches today. We see the same thing creeping into this country today. There was actually a wall or a shrine to Baal that was making its way around this country. I don't know what happened to it. You know, there are things creeping in that people are just, you know, 40 years ago in my parents' generation or even your generation, you think they would have put up with that? No. But now it's like, hey, anything goes. You know, when you reject God, when you reject his truth, guess what? You're going to accept a lie. 2 Peter 3:3-9. First of all, understand that in the last days, or in the Hebrew refers to the end of days, scoffers will come scoffing, following after their own desires, and saying, where is this promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers died, everything goes on just as it was from the beginning of creation. Again, here now, he gives you a hint who he's talking to. He's talking to believers. Unbelievers don't know anything about since, you know, the ancient fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because they're quoting scripture. Well, ever since the fathers died, everything goes on just as the beginning of creation. So again, Peter's talking to people who know God and now are scoffing at God. For in holding to this idea, it escapes their notice that in heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. Through these, the world of that time was destroyed by being flooded with water. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly people. So we see that God's judgment is against those that are ungodly. And he destroyed the earth first by water, but the final destruction will be fire. But don't forget this one thing, loved ones, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some consider slowness. Rather, he is being patient towards you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But there is going to come a day where, you know, there's going to not be anybody left to repent. You know, but God is patient. Why? Because he knows there's still people that need to come into the fold. So we need to intercede. We need to pray, you know, for that remnant. Hosea 7:7. All of them are like an oven, and they devour their rulers. All their kings have fallen. None among them calls on me. So again, it's referring to the leaders of Israel, but I believe it's also referring to a lot of our leaders today in this country. Treasar, they are all aflame with passion for the pursuit of their evil desires, like an oven heated for baking. And they even murdered the judges of the Sanhedrin who dared rebuke them for their misdeeds. Alternately, through their misdeeds, they have caused their judges to be devoured, for the preponderance of evildoers has made the judges afraid to render justice and has even led them to pander to the wicked. Thus they judge only on behalf of those who have the power to help or harm them and ignore the needs of the powerless, therefore bringing down upon themselves the wrath of the Almighty. You know, God is very aware of what is going on in this country. Again, as I was seeing that, I could see it today in our political realm. You know, God is, you know, whether you like Trump or not, God put him in office, and he is doing what he believes God has called him to do. And we need to pray for him, that he's a new believer, that, you know, he'll grow in his faith and he'll grow strong. But I tell you, I've never seen any president attacked like this president has been attacked. Never. You know, it's like, yeah, there's some presidents I didn't like, but God says, I don't care if you like them or not. You're supposed to pray for all those in authority.
Amen. That's right.
Pray for them, that their hearts will turn. Pray for them. For the heart of the king is in my hand, and I turn them whichever way I desire. When we pray, God put us, we're in this earth. He gave us the authority. He gave us the assignment to pray and intercede, to do spiritual warfare and stand against evil. We cannot stand and say nothing. We cannot be the silent majority. But again, we see that we see leaders because of fear of a minority of people, because of fear, they pervert the justice that should be due. But we have a president who is not afraid of them. Yes, he may say dumb things. Well, you know what? We all say dumb things. But he doesn't let them push him around. And he's already, you know, he has cut $60 billion out of abortion. That from Planned Parenthood. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need to pray for him and President Pence and all. There are godly men in Congress.
Amen.
There are godly people in places of authority. We need to pray for them. And we need to be prayerful, because truthfully, when, and I don't know why I'm saying this, but you know, I'm saying what God wants me to say. This last presidential election, I really didn't know who I was voting for. I was praying and interceding. When I heard about Trump, I wasn't really gung-ho, and I wasn't even going to vote, but the Rook said, yes, you are going to vote, and he put in my heart to vote for Trump. Why? Because if enough people sit home and say, well, it don't mean anything, that's why the wrong people get in office, and we wonder why things are happening the way they're happening, because we're complacent. Even, you know, even statistically it says, you know, that the majority of people do not vote. It's a small group of people that vote, you know. And again, our vote is important because God still has a plan for this country. And I'm praying and interceding for this country. But you know what? If it goes another way, then we better, be ready to stand, to take a stand. But God, what did Yeshua say? You need to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we want your will to be done on earth.
Yes.
We want your will to, we want your people to be in office. We want your people to be in businesses, you know, that'll stand for justice and righteousness for all people. Hallelujah. Matthew 23:30, and you say, if we'd been alive in the days of our forefathers, we wouldn't have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. You know, how many times sometimes we read scriptures and say, well, I wouldn't have done that if I was back then. It's like, really? So you testify against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Guess what? It wasn't a cushy job being a prophet. It was, I mean, you, number one, had to know 100% you were hearing from God. And you had to, again, face all kinds of, you know, ridicule, persecution. But again, these prophets spoke only what God told them to speak and to do what God told them to do. Fill up, then, the measure of your fathers. O snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape this condemnation of Gehenna? Because of this, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and Torah scholars. Now here, she was talking present time, and I believe going forward. Some of them you will kill and execute at the stake, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. And so upon you come all the righteous shed blood on earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Amen. And I tell you, these things will come upon this generation. Again, God was Yeshua was speaking to the generation that he was sent to that rejected him. But you know what? It applies to every generation that rejects God's rule and reign on earth through Messiah. It's still, you know, again, that same rebuke. And again, he was looking back, realized that all the believers back then were Jewish until God started opening the gospel to the Gentiles. Okay? Jesus was a Jew, and he had no problem rebuking his fellow Jews if they were off the word, if they were doing things that were contrary. And he was talking to, again, a certain group that were proud of who they were, but were not humble before God. And we need to watch that as well. Again, leadership. Luke 11, beginning with verse 47. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses and approve the deeds of your fathers, for indeed they killed them, and you are building their tombs. For this reason also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and emissaries, and some of them they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of the prophets shed since the foundation of the world may be required from this generation. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the one who perished between the altar and the house of God. Yes, I tell you, it will be required from this generation. Woe to you, Torah lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you stood in the way of those entering. When Yeshua left there, the Torah scholars and the Pharisees began to be very hostile and to interrogate him on many issues, plotting against him to catch him in his words. So again, if it was a humble heart receives correction. Again, this was just a certain group, because if you read in Acts, which I'll be teaching, it says many of the priests believed that Yeshua was Messiah and became followers of him. So this was just a certain group, again, that he is talking to. But they were leaders, and leaders have influence over the people. And Yeshua is rebuking them for, you know, making the Torah, you know, a thing of bondage instead of, you know, a thing of a way to walk in holiness towards God. And expecting everybody else to do it, but they were exempt from doing it. Hosea 7, verses 8 and 9. Ephraim mixes himself with the peoples. Ephraim has become a pancake that never gets turned over. Strangers devoured his strength, yet he does not know it. Gray hairs have spread on him, and he does not know it. Trey Hassar, a commentary. Foreign nations have come and plundered his wealth, and Assyria and Egypt have consumed the riches with which he bribed them. But he has not taken his plight to heart, nor has he come to recognize that he has occurred as a result of wickedness. Thus he is not moved to repent his evil ways and return to me. Despite his misfortune, he has not come to know Hashem. What brought about all this decadence to which the Jewish nation, or actually these are the main, well, both the northern and southern tribes were guilty of it, has descended. They're intermingling with the Gentile nations from whom Hashem separated them. They have assimilated into their society and emulated their deeds. So again, it actually started with Solomon, because when he was, you know, taking on more and more wives in his old age, he allowed some of his wives who were still practicing their pagan ways to build temples and all kinds of stuff, you know, that was contrary to Torah. And Israelites were marrying people of pagan lands. And instead of, you know, bringing them into the knowledge of Yahweh and his Torah, they were just assimilating and adding to their faith their pagan ways. That's why the word, well, we're going to look at these scriptures, see what God's word says. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship does light have with darkness? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same rule applies to us. Why? Because you think that you're not going to be, you know, sucked into their way of life. Guess what? I've seen it happen time and time again. What harmony does Messiah have with Belial? Or what part does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement does God's temple have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says Adonai. Touch no unclean thing, then I will take you in. We are still to be walking holy lives as believers, you know. Just, I'm a believer now, it doesn't matter what I do, my sins are covered. That's the attitude of a lot of believers. Oh, really? No. God expects you to walk in holiness and righteousness and to be sanctified and set apart. Touch not, King James says, touch not the unclean thing. And that's what the Father is doing in these days. He's calling his people. He's calling us out of Babylon, out of our friendship with the world, out of our dependence upon the things of the world, into trusting him and walking in his ways. You know, again, it's been said, we don't obey his Torah to be saved. We obey his Torah because we are saved, because it is his protection to us. It is his way, his truth, and his life. Yeshua followed the Torah perfectly. He is our example of walking in Torah, how to treat people, how to minister to people, how to love one another. He says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Adonai Zavaot. Deuteronomy 7:1-4. When Adonai your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess, and drives out many nations before you, the Hittite and the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Canaanite and the Perizzite, the Hivite and the Jebusite, seven nations more numerous and mightier than you, and Adonai your God gives them over to you and strikes them down, then you are to utterly destroy them. You are to make no covenant with them and show no mercy to them. You know, and God, people look back on that and they say, well, you know, look at how mean God is. He's destroying all these people. He's telling them to kill all these people. Well, you need to study what these ancient people practiced. They practiced child sacrifice. Gee, what's going on today? Child sacrifice. They practiced all kinds of sexual sins. Again, God gave them the chance to repent, but their hearts were hardened. They had all kinds of, you need to study why God destroyed these people. The information's out there. Why did he destroy Jericho? I mean, Jericho had plenty of times to repent, but only one woman repented, Rahab. She goes, we've heard of you. We've heard that you are coming. We've heard how God is with you. Jericho used to bury children alive in the wall to their God. And you wonder why God destroyed them? You are not to intermarry with them. You are not to give your daughter to his son or take his daughter for your son. For he will turn your son away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of Adonai will be kindled against you, and he will swiftly destroy you. Did this happen? Yes, it did. We're seeing in the time of Hosea and the prophets, it's exactly what happened. They turned their hearts away from serving God. And they mingled, they assimilated, and they tried to combine, you know, God's holiness with paganism. Guess what? It don't work. Ezra 9:1-2. Now, Ezra, this is a time, again, the Jewish nation is in Babylon. God sent godly people with them so they wouldn't forget who they were and where they belonged. They wouldn't forget the Torah. They wouldn't forget their covenant. So Ezra was a Kohen. They were getting ready now to enter back into the land. Their captivity, you know, the prophets told them, you'll be in captivity 70 years and then you'll go back to the land. And as I had shared before, Rabbi Spiro pointed out that only a small majority went back. Why? Because it was comfy in Babylon. You know, a lot of times we get comfy in the wrong places. So here's Ezra. Now when these things have been completed, the leaders approached me to say, the people of Israel, the Kohanim and the Levites, have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands who practice detestable things, just like the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves, and for their sons have mingled the holy seed with the people of the lands. Indeed, the hand of the leaders and the officials have been at the forefront in this unfaithful act. So here we see the leaders doing it, so the people, well, if it's okay for the leaders, it must be okay for me. So now, our God, what should we say for? So now, our God, what should we say after this? For we have forsaken your mitzvot. Then you commanded through your servants, the prophets, saying, the land that you are entering to possess is a land defiled by the impurities of the peoples of the lands. Through their abominations, they have filled it from one end to the other with uncleanness. Therefore, do not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons. Do not seek their shalom or their welfare, so that you may be strong, eat the good things of the land, and leave it as an inheritance for your children forever. After everything that has happened to us because of our evil deeds and our great guilt, for you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and given us a remnant such as this. Shall we once again break your mitzvot and intermarry with the peoples who commit such detestable actions as these? Would you not be angry enough with us to destroy us, leaving us no remnant or survivor? Then Ezra the Kohen stood up and said to them, you have been unfaithful and have taken foreign wives, increasing the guilt of Israel. So now give praise to Adonai, the God of your fathers, and do his will. Separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from your foreign wives. So he had them, you know, these are wives that are still, you know, practicing pagan ways. You know, because we see Rahab was, you know, was from Jericho. But she repented and became a part of Israel. She forsook her pagan ways. Ruth forsook the ways of the Moabites and became a part of Israel. But obviously these people weren't, you know, forsaken their pagan ways and were still influencing God's people wrong. He says, okay, I'm sending you back into the land. And that's one thing I said before, that land was desolate until the Jews were back in the land. Same thing today. In 1948, that land was desolate until the Jews were sent back into the land. Why? Because that land can only be blessed with the Jewish people being in it, not from any pagan or foreigner being in it. So God's telling them, if you want the land to prosper, if you want to be blessed, you have to do things my way. Nehemiah 13:1-3. On that day, the scroll of Moses was read aloud in the hearing of the people. The command was found written in it that no Ammonite or Moabite should enter into the assembly of God forever. For they did not meet B'nai Israel with bread and water, but instead hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, our God turned the curse into a blessing. You know, one of my prayers is, you know, is Father, whoever is cursing us, you know, turn that curse into a blessing. If people are speaking words against us, words against our ministry, our congregation, Father, we break the power of those words in the name of Yeshua. Because that's what the enemy did. He tried to hire a pagan prophet to curse Israel. But God would not let that happen. He turned all he could do was bless Israel and prophesy over Israel. When they heard the Torah, they separated from Israel all of their mixed ancestry. Now, again, this isn't referring to black, white, Spanish. It's talking about those who are practicing pagan ways, who are still, you know, loyal to their paganism and their lands, and those that were separated unto Israel. Psalm 106:35-43. Instead, they mingled with the nations and learned their practices. They worshiped their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. So the land was desecrated with blood. So they defiled themselves by their deeds and prostituted themselves by their practices. Therefore the anger of Adonai was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his inheritance. He handed them to the nations. Those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them, so they were subdued under their hand. Many times he delivered them, but they kept rebelling deliberately, and so sank low into their iniquity. How many times has God delivered this land from the hands of the enemies? You know, that, especially World War II, you know, when Japan attacked us. Even, you know, recently with 9/11, these terror attacks, it's God's mercy that has protected us. You know, and again, God is calling us, you know, this country, and now they're even trying now to get in God We Trust off our money, to wipe it out. The voice of a minority, just like Bridget Gabriel said, you know, you may, again, be a peaceful person, but if you're silent, it don't mean anything, because then you're allowing the minority to rule. And we see now, we see people trying to take over this land politically. You know, again, one of the agendas, I read this from a woman who was a jihadist, and she came to know Messiah, and, you know, and she ministers now, and she says, and she goes, I'll tell you exactly what their plan is. And Bridget Gabriel has a lot of good information on this, and I'll try to remember to make copies for you. But one of their plans is, number one, assimilation, you know, to creep in silently until they become a majority to get people into political positions. What do we see now?
Exactly.
We see Muslim people in political positions who hate this country, who have allegiance to the God of Islam and want this country destroyed, and they don't, you know, and they hate Israel, and they speak it out. Well, you know what? Because the majority didn't do what they were supposed to do, put a righteous person in office, this is what happened. You know, and that's, it's called political jihad. It says, we're patient. You know what? Because their job, they want to, is the United States to be a Muslim. They want the whole world to be a Muslim, Muslim. But you know what? Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. That's why, again, we look back and we study the prophets, and we see that when Israel served God, there wasn't any foreign country that could overtake them. Why? Because God was fighting for them. God's hand of protection was for them. We see in Israel today that it's because God is protecting Israel. His hand, his dome of protection is over them, that none of these enemies can overtake them. You know, yeah, they'll shoot missiles and stuff, but even then, they, you know, God, you know, a lot of them misfire or end up, you know, in, you know, into the sea, into the ocean, but God is protecting that land. You know it's God, because they're surrounded by billions and billions of enemies. You know, so God is protecting. Why? Because God loves his people. He loves Israel. That land is his. We need to love Israel. We need to love them and stand with them and pray for them. Because I believe there's going to be a spiritual revival in Israel as well. That there's going to, you know, in this country as well, you know, and you can see again that I believe again God had his hands on this country, you know, but we need to make our voices known, you know, before we turn around and it's no longer a country in God We Trust. And I believe there's still a majority out there that stand for righteousness. They even took a poll, and even people that are pro-abortion are against this late-term abortion law. Something like 93% are against it, yet all these, you know, these evil people that can care less about life say, oh, no, you know, that's, You know, I'd like to send a letter to the president. I'm saying, you know, president, okay, you've taken this money away from Planned Parenthood. Why don't we start an organization to fund adoptions? Use that money to fund adoptions, to help people who want to adopt children, to give these women an alternative. You know, we need to pray with these women because they're deceived. You know, again, how can you be ready to give birth and allow a physician to murder that child while its head is still in your womb? You know, it's like we need to pray for them because I've read many a story of women who have become believers and have had abortions and it still haunts them. It's still, you know, we need to pray for them as well. You know, again, we need to stand for righteousness while there is light for us to stand. One of the things, Father, we need to get back to the business of preaching the gospel and making disciples as Yeshua told us to do. Teaching people in the Word, and I'm praying, Father, show us how we can make a greater impact in the area that you placed us to be. Again, it's not a bless us for and no more club. 1 Corinthians 5:9, I wrote to you in my letter not to mix together with sexually immoral people. Again, the context of this portion, he's talking to believers with other believers, okay? Not at all meaning the sexually immoral people of this world or the greedy or swindlers are idolaters, for then you would have to exit the world. Again, you work in a secular job, you're going to be with people that are fornicators, that are doing things that are contrary to the word. He says you can't separate yourself from them because you have to work with them. You have to deal with them in everyday life, you know. But he's talking about people within the body of Messiah that are living contrary to the word. But now I am writing you not to mix together with anyone who's being called a brother, if he is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a slanderer or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a fellow. So in other words, if you have somebody within your midst, within your congregation, and they're living with somebody, they're in church or on Shabbat on Saturday, but they're living like the world every other day, we as leaders are supposed to confront them. You know, and I've had to do that because I've had, you know, in the past, couples coming to the congregation who said they were believers and they're living together. I said, listen, you need to repent of that and get married, or you can't stay here. Why? Because if I said they could stay, that means I'm saying that's okay what you're doing, when it's not. And if you're telling people you're a believer and you're living in sin, you're doing contrary to the word, you know. But fortunately, you know, they did get married and they did repent of it, you know. But again, it's like, why? Because they let themselves assimilate into the world's way of thinking instead of God's way of thinking. Yes, we love our brothers and sisters, but if they refuse to repent, if they refuse to do, you know, to live the life that God called them to live, it says you're not to associate with them. Well, that's mean. That's not being all-inclusive. Well, you know what? The Bible is not all-inclusive. Yes, God so loved the world, but you know what? You got to do it God's ways. Repent, come in, I will make you a new creation. Old things passed away, behold, all become new. Yes, are you here? Now, if it's one thing if somebody is struggling to get free of something. Yes, you work with them, you pray, you know, with them, you help them. But if someone says, no, hey, I'm a believer, but I don't see anything wrong with living with somebody. I don't see anything wrong with getting drunk. I don't see anything wrong with, you know, getting drugs, doing drugs. Then there's an issue. Then I would question, did you really repent and come to God? Did you really have a change of nature like God said? For what business do I have judging others? Don't you judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Put away the wicked fellow from among yourselves. Why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you say that, it's one thing if somebody's struggling. Then you're going to work with them. You're going to help them to get free. They want to get free, but they're having a problem. They want to serve God. Then you work with them. You pray with them. You help them. But when somebody comes in and they blatantly say, hey, you know what? I can do what I want. I can act the way I want. bye-bye, you're not going to stay here. Why? Because you're going to contaminate the congregation. And if us as leaders say that's okay, guess whose side we just went on? We just went on Satan's side. What did Joshua say? You want to go back to Egypt? You want to go back to where you came from? You want to live with the pagans? Fine. But you know what? As for me and my house, we are going to serve God. As for me and this house, we are going to serve God. And it doesn't mean you don't walk in compassion and mercy, but you can't compromise either. And again, this is Paul speaking in the Bible, in the New Testament, the apostolic scriptures, that we are not to mix together with sexually immoral people. Again, why? Because if the leadership says, well, that's no problem, then guess what? Your congregation is going to either, God's going to judge it, number one, and fall apart, and that anointing's going to leave you. I'd rather have a few people that are on fire for God than thousands that are compromising God and just playing church. 1 Corinthians 15, 33-34, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You know, again, we can, you know, when you, you know, go on your job, of course it's going to be mixed with unbelievers and stuff, but you know what? We are in the world, but we're not of it. We need to be a light shining there. That doesn't mean when they go out getting drunk, you have to go out and get drunk with them. That doesn't mean when they're telling dirty jokes, you have to sit there laughing at your dirty jokes with them. You know, the one office I was working, you know, they knew I was a minister. You know, and I did my job, but you know what, when they'd go out on the holidays and stuff, and you know, we'd have dinner with them, but you guess what, everybody else would hit the bar, it's like, bye, you know, I'm going home, or I'd even have the bosses, they'd say something off color, and they go, oops, I'm sorry, you know, and I didn't, you know, say, hey, you know, why are you talking that way, it's like, but why? Because I was living the life in front of them. I wasn't swearing and cussing and drinking like them, you know, and acting like them. I was a light in the darkness. Come to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. Again, he's talking about believers. He says, you're acting like the world because you have no knowledge of God. You think that you could be friends with the world, that you can mingle with the world, and it's not going to corrupt your good morals. Guess what? Yes, it will. Just the same as Israel. Hosea's talking to Israel. They allow themselves to intermingle, and guess what? It corrupted their morals. And they forgot who they were, and they forgot who they belonged to, and they forgot who called them. Hosea 7:10, through the pride of Israel has answered him to his face, yet they did not return to Adonai their God, nor seek him about all this. Tree Hasar, the people of Israel have witnessed the fall of their pride and glory, yet they continue to refuse to mend their ways. What came to my mind right away? The Twin Towers were the America's pride and glory,
yeah.
Especially New York. When those towers fell, and actually Rabbi Kahn has a really good teaching on this, but well, you know, it was like, yes, there is repentance because here we see, you know, different places of power being destroyed by the enemy, but it didn't last very long. What do they do? We got to build another, you know, another building even bigger and taller. And what did they flash on that building recently? What did they light up on the top of that building recently? A light celebrating the abortion law in New York of murdering babies. Yet they did not return to Adonai their God, nor seek him about all of this. Again, as I was studying it, God is showing me, you know, but we can't just sit back. We need to pray. We need to intercede. We need to do what we need to do. We need our voices to be heard. It says, in the end of days, men will curse and not repent of their deeds. Revelation 16:9, people were scorched. Now this is during the tribulation when the judgments of God are coming. People were scorched with fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God, the one who has power over these plagues, but they did not repent to give him glory. This is where men's hearts have become so hardened that even during these judgments that are coming, they're going to refuse to repent. Revelation 16:9, people, oh, I read that, 16:21, enormous hail, about 100 pounds each. Can you imagine hail, 100 pounds? I mean, that'll definitely kill you. Falls from heaven on the people, and the people cursed God because of the plague of hail. So extreme was that plague. 2 Peter 2:1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there are also false teachers. There will also be false teachers among you. Not just back then, but every generation has had their share of false teachers. But when you know the truth, you're not susceptible to the false. They will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Do we see that happening today? Yes, we do. They will even deny the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their immoral ways, and as a result, the way of truth will be maligned. We see that happening today. We see ministers, again, I'm not talking about all ministers, but you know who they are, will rise up and say things that are contrary to the word. They've got thousands of followers. And the truth is maligned. People say, well, look at that pastor. He was just caught in adultery. Look at that pastor. He was just sent to prison for stealing money from his church. And what happens, again, the name of God is maligned. That's why our life means something. What we say, what we do means something. We are poster boards for God. And if we live the wrong way and we say the wrong things and we speak contrary to the word, the truth of God's word is being maligned. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For God did not spare angels when they sinned, but threw them into Sheol. He put them in chains of gloomy darkness to be held until the judgment. Can you imagine? You know, we think demons are bad. Can you imagine how horrible these angels were that God has to chain them up? He didn't, well, again, they're all, you know, cohorts of Satan. He did not spare the ancient world. He preserved only Noah, a proclaimer of righteousness, along with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, I mean, Noah, he spent 120 years building the ark. Plenty of time to repent. Yeah, but I assure all they did was mock him. You know, no, what are you doing? What are you building? You know, and I'm sure he's saying, judgment's coming. You know, and he's building this huge ship in the middle of a desert. What are you doing, Noah? Repent. Oh, yeah, you crazy old man. Guess what? He wasn't so crazy when the water came and only his family entered into that ark and were saved. The rest were swept away by that flood. But any one of them could have come to repentance. Say, come on, no, let me help you, Noah. You know, but none of, can you imagine the only righteous person in the world that stood for God? And only his family, probably because of Noah, his family was saved. You know, again, we need to, this another picture of, because of us, we are, you know, those in our family that we need to stand for our unsaved family members. We need to pray them into the ark of safety, which is Yeshua. Pray that laborers come across their path. You know, until their last breath, there's still hope. And our prayers availeth much, because you know what? The prayers of my grandmother availed much over my life. If it wasn't for her, I don't know what my life would be like. But that word, even when I was out in the world and not serving God, that word was dealing with me. I was never a happy sinner. I was always miserable. Why? Because my grandmother planted that word within me. And I knew the truth, you know, and I knew that this wasn't what God had for me. This isn't what God called me to do. So I have faith and trust that word that we've sown into there, our kids, whether they want to hear it or not, that word's been sown. That seed's been sown. So we need to water and intercede it with prayer and intercession. Pray that God will send forth his angels, that people will come across their path and keep on bringing. I mean, God sent many people across my path. I'm sure he sent many people across all your paths. And at first you probably thought, get away. But you know what? Every time I did that word they were speaking was hitting my heart until I came to repentance. Thank God for his mercy. He devastated the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, reducing them to ashes, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. Why? Because they refused to repent. You know, Billy Graham used to say, God's going to have to, you know, if God doesn't judge America, He's going to have to repent to Sodom and Gomorrah for destroying them. But guess what? God is mercy. There will, I believe, be judgment. Even though there are people, prophets rising up and saying that, you know, God's not through with us yet. And I believe that. But we also have our part to do, too. Because you know what? Prophets raised up in old, in the ancient days that we're reading and warned the people, but they didn't do anything about it. They didn't heed. So we need to take warning. We need to intercede and pray. You know, and I really felt in my spirit, and so have other people, that, you know, that if an ungodly person comes in office, I mean, this, the ones that are in office now are really pushing a socialist agenda. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, President Trump, but again, we need to pray for him. Whether people get, you know, really, you know, oh, he's evil, I said, you better be standing on God's side, not standing on the wrong side. Again, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. Whose side are you on? Are you on God's side? If you're not on God's side, guess what? You ain't getting my vote. We need to pray that, you know, and again, it's not an easy thing to run for office, because you run for office, guess what? They go digging up every piece of dirt they can on you to destroy you. But we need to pray. We need to hold our president up in prayer and intercede. The Bible says, I exhort you to pray for all those in authority. When Peter was saying that, again, who was in authority then? Nero, who was burning Christians, feeding them to lions. Why? So we can live peaceful and godly lives. So the gospel can be taught, so that we can have congregations. We can teach and train people. We can have TV programs. We can have podcasts that preach the truth. 2 Peter 2, 7, 8 to 13, chapter 2, verses 7 to 13. He rescued Lot, again, he rescued Lot, a righteous man deeply troubled by the shameless immorality of the wicked. Are we deeply troubled? I know, you know, the people here are. Are we grieved? Yes, I mean, it's you know, you almost feel like, you know, Father, you just, the grief, you know, is so, should really be stirring us to intercession. Because really, I'm grieving over this country. I'm grieving over the next generation. You know, again, I hope Yeshua doesn't tarry. I hope that we see his return in our days. Hallelujah. For that righteous man, while living among them, was tormented in his righteous soul day after day by lawless deeds he saw and he heard. Therefore, the Lord certainly knows how to rescue the godly from trials and how to keep the unrighteous being punished until the day of judgment. So here, God rescued Lot. God knows how to rescue us too in the day of trouble. So we don't have to fear. You know, I'm praying that, number one, in this congregation, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in intercession. We didn't come back to Torah to throw all that stuff away. We know who we are in Messiah. I teach faith who we are in Messiah. We need all of that to stand in the righteousness of Messiah that He made us. We need the power of God. We can't just go through the motions and not have His power. For we are not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of God. It is God's power. Hallelujah. Especially those who follow after the flesh and its unclean desires, and who despise the Lord's authority, brazen and arrogant, these people do not tremble while slandering glorious beings. How many times do you see actors get on the set and blaspheme and curse God? And everybody's laughing. I mean, I won't waste my time watching those award shows. You just hear because clips come up. Well, this is what so-and-so said. Mocked God. In fact, there's a movie coming out, and I pray to God that that everything in that movie burns to shreds. Called Corpus Christi, depicting Yeshua as a homosexual.
Oh my.
Every believer needs to rise up and say, you know what, that is blasphemy against our God, against, you know, the Messiah Yeshua. And I know they had a play about it, but I just saw it come up again. I know some cities have banned it. But things like this, we need to pray. We, you know, we need to let our voices be heard. If there's, you know, if there's a petition, you know, Jay Sekulow is doing a great job helping those that, you know, in other lands that are being held in bondage, standing up for, you know, against abortion. But he needs our help and he needs our voices too. Right. Same thing with Bridget Gabriel. It doesn't take but a second to sign a petition. Because he had petition, and he brings those petitions before the leaders, and look at the people, because, you know, for every signature, they know there's even more voices behind it. For every phone call we make, they say represents another couple hundred people. So yes, we need to call them, even if they don't care what we have to say. When I contacted both our representatives, I told them, you know, we are against this full-term abortion that Illinois is trying to pass. And that you need to fund adoption, not abortion. Again, I got the pat answer because they're pro-abortion people that are in office. You know, but it's like, hey, they still need to hear our voice.
Yep.
Because, you know, God knows that we took a stand.
That's right.
Verse 11, yet even angels, though stronger and more powerful, do not bring a slanderous charge against them before the Lord. But these people are like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be captured and killed. They malign what they don't understand, and their destruction they will be utterly destroyed. They will be paid back for what they have done, evil for evil. They consider carousing in broad daylight a pleasure. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceitful pleasures while feasting together with you. Again, assimilation, mingling, you know, again, corrupting, you know, corruption. Keep going on with 1 Peter. They have eyes full of adultery that never stop sinning. You know, Peter didn't mince any words. You know, enticing unstable souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed brood. They have abandoned the straight way. They have gone astray. So they have abandoned the straight way. To me, that sounds like somebody who once was walking in the straight way and has abandoned it for the ways of the world. They have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. Now, if you didn't study Torah, would you have a clue who Balaam was? You've got to study Torah to understand who the apostolic scriptures are speaking about. Because they refer back to the Torah all the time. Who loved the wages of wickedness. But he received a rebuke for his own wrongdoing. A dumb donkey spoke with a man's voice and put a stop to the prophet's madness. God could even use a dumb donkey. Hallelujah. These people are springs without water. Sounds familiar with what Hosea was saying. And mist driven by a storm. The gloom of utter darkness has been reserved for them. For by mouthing grandiose deeds that amount to nothing, they entice in sensual, fleshly passions those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while themselves are slaves of corruption. For a person is a slave to whatever has overcome him. For if, after escaping the world's pollutions through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, they again become entangled in these things and are overcome, the end for them has become even worse than the beginning. So in other words, you're a believer. You are walking with Messiah. You have the knowledge of God, but you turned away. Guess what? It's going to be worse for you than it was before you were even born again. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after learning about it to turn back from the holy commandment passed on to them. What happened to them confirms the truth of the proverb, a dog returns to its vomit and a scrub pig heads right back into the mud. To end on a good note, he rescued Lot. This is, again, what... For those that are walking in righteousness, those who are walking the best that they know how to please God and in Yeshua, He rescued Lot, a righteous man, deeply troubled by the shameless immorality of the wicked. I know many a believer, whether they're messianic or Christian, and you know, are deeply troubled by what is going on. For that righteous man, while living among them, was tormented in his righteous soul day after day by lawless deeds he saw and heard. Therefore, the Lord certainly knows how to rescue the godly from trials and how to keep the unrighteous being punished until the day of judgment. God knows how to keep us, to protect us, to sanctify us. You know, again, it's day by day. Father, today I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do my best. You know, we've all slipped, but not intentionally. You know, a lot of times it's unintentionally. It's just, it's a matter of having our spirit man being in control versus our flesh. But our heart and our desire is to follow God, to serve Him, to please Him, to do all we can to answer what He has called us to do the best we can. You know, you know, sometimes we feel, oh, well, if I don't have thousands of people, I'm not doing anything for the kingdom. God doesn't see that. He's looking at faithfulness. You know, are you just being faithful every day to be my witness, to live this life in front of those, to give glory to me when I have done something for you, to give glory to me when I've saved you and protected you and blessed you, you know, to proclaim my name, you know, among the unrighteous, you know, to endure, you know, the persecution of your family and friends. Believe me, we've all been through it. But you know, when I got saved, I didn't care. You know, my family didn't understand. They thought I went wacko. I mean, they were happier when I was in the world getting drunk. And, you know, it was like they had no problem with that because that was normal. You know, but to be, I mean, I was called, you know, again, you know, my mother had sent me to see a couple priests. So then these priests were spirit-filled. So I asked them, I go, well, if you know the truth, why are you still doing this? And this one priest said, well, he says, who's going to tell them the truth if I don't stay?
Right.
And I said, well, you need to come out from among them. He goes, well, you're Catholic. I said, I'm not Catholic. I wasn't brought up Catholic. You know, I says, by name and name only. I says, I'm serving Yeshua. Let me tell you, you know, and because they don't understand. But that's why you need to take a stand. We need to expect persecution from our families, from our friends. Why? Because they don't understand. They don't, you know, they don't understand this light. But you know what? My mother, you know, at the end of her life said, told my sister, who told me, she goes, I know Debbie's doing what God called her to do, that she's supposed to be doing this, you know, on her bed. So I believe that God, you know, that she came to know Messiah. Why? Because our prayers, right. For you know, Scott.
Me, but before she died, she said that I was a good man.
Right.
You know, and she couldn't stand me.
People will see our light shining, and we need to, you know, again, people are gonna, you know, we're not here to be, you know, buddy buddy with people.
Right.
You know, yes, we need godly friends. You know, we need people. We need to uphold one another. We don't need to be friends with the world. We need to stand for righteousness no matter what. And I'm, you know, and I believe that my prayers, my almost 40 years of prayers to my mother prevailed. Yeah. Maybe I didn't hear it with my ears, but I believe, you know, Father, our prayers availeth much, you know, and that I believe you spoke to her heart, you know, at that last minute. You know, and I believe that for our families. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to stop believing because I know where God brought me from. You know, Minister Scott, myself, a lot of you, we could have been dead in our sins.
Yep.
You know, when I look back sometimes, it was just like, wow. You know, and I have to share this one testimony too, and I share it on Facebook because I want to give glory to God for what He did. And we always pray for His protection, and I shared it with Pat, but we were coming back from a doctor's visit, and I was at the light, you know, when the light turns yellow, you're making a left-hand turn, usually, you know, you go on the yellow to turn left. So a truck in front of me went left, and I was right behind him. All of a sudden, this car, it was a red car, was probably going about 50 miles an hour, went through the light as it was already red when I was halfway in there, and we would have been killed.
Yep.
But I slammed on the, it was like, you know, when you slammed on the brakes, usually the car's like, didn't make a sound, and the car, like, our car turned.
Yep.
And the car missed us. If it would have hit us, we would have been dead.
Well, you started turning away. Right. All I said was, oh, my God. Because I saw us getting destroyed. And he would have hit us right where I was sitting. And you started turning away, and I felt the rear end of the car get picked up and moved.
You know, and after we went through the intersection, we were looking at each other. Thank you, Father, because your angel was there, because that car came out of nowhere.
Yep.
It was not there. It was just like out of nowhere. It was there. And it was, and I was like,
not
oh my God.
Not expecting it at all, and all of a sudden it
you know,
was there.
That was God. You know, that was God's protection. So you know what? His angels are around. We don't know how many times he's protected us all. How many times we avoided something that, you know, we have no idea, but we knew that. It was like, thank you, Father. You still have work for us to do.
How many
Hallelujah.
Times I should have died my sin.
Yep.
You know, 3 times that I know about, and 3 times I lived through it.
Well, Father, we praise you and thank you for your mercy and your love, for your protection, Father. Your word is true. You said that your angels would encamp around about us, Father, and keep us safe from harm.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for your word. We pray now for this country, Father. Father, we use our authority in the name of Yeshua, and we come against this infanticide law, Father, this murder of babies, Father. And you know, Father, we know that the enemy knows his time is short. Because before, when Moses was born, babies were murdered. When Yeshua was born, babies were murdered. Father, we know Yeshua's return is soon because babies are being murdered. We come against this in the name of Yeshua because this is your life, Father. These are your children, Father. Father, we come against these men, Father, that are rejoicing over the murder of babies, Father, that you would put them out of office, Father. Father, we ask you to have mercy on this country, Father, in the name of Yeshua. We come against those laws, Father, that every state is trying to vote on, Father. Bless those states that have stood against us, Father. We pray for the states that we live in, Father. Father, we pray that you, Father, would deal with these leaders, Father, that they would listen to the voice of the majority, the voice of the people, Father, that otherwise blood will be on their hands, Father, from these babies. Father, we pray laws, Father, that which these laws to euthanasia, Father, for assisted suicide that would try to get rid of the elderly as well, Father. Father, all life is precious in your eyes, from the womb to the tomb, Father. Father, we just come against that spirit of Moloch, Father, that is trying to take over this country, Father. Father, that spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah that is trying to overtake this country. Father, we pray, we ask for your mercy, Father, and your grace in the name of Yeshua. Father, we pray, Father, for a revival, a restoration, Father, among your people first to return to your ways, Father, to repent of their mingling, to repent, Father, of their assimilation into the world and return to you, Father. Father, we pray for our families, Father, that don't know you. Father, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, Father. We thank you that you are sending laborers across our family's path, Father, that you are watering those seeds that are sown, Father, so that they will fulfill the call that you have on their lives to proclaim the gospel, so that they would use their gifts and talents for your kingdom. Father, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not Satan's will. We come against the will of Satan. We come against those I wills that are trying to bring forth judgment upon this country, Father. And we proclaim that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we ask you send your angels forth, Father. Father, to guard and protect us, Father, to bring in the finances we need to proclaim your kingdom, Father. Father, we ask you for ways. Show us, Father, how to reach the people, Father, in the places where you have planted us. Father, show us, Father, how to make disciples of the nations which you commanded us to do. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May you be a wall of fire around about her, Father. Father, we pray you open the eyes, Father, of our Jewish brethren to Messiah Yeshua, Father, that those blinders will fall off, Father, that they will say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, Father, that they would see that Yeshua is the Messiah. Father, thank you for protecting them from all the evil of the enemy, Father. Father, we pray, Father, that the Torah would rise up within our hearts, their hearts, Father. Father, we pray, Father, for godly leadership as well in that country, Father. Help them not to be deceived, Father, by people who say they are for them but are against them. Father, we know that we are in the latter days, Father. We ask for your grace and mercy, Father, and give us wisdom, Father. Father, we want to be used by you. We want to see this place grow, not for the sake of numbers, Father. We want to see every Messianic congregation grow who is preaching your truth, Father, walking in your word, walking in the Spirit, not so we can brag about our numbers, Father. Father, but so we can do as Yeshua commanded us, Father, and that is to make Talmudim for the kingdom of Yahweh. Father, that is our heart's desire. That is our prayer, Father. Father, that you would open doors, Father, that no man could shut. That you would make a way where there seems to be no way. Father, as far as this congregation, we desire, Father, to walk in your gifts. We desire to walk in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, Father, that your gifts would manifest in our lives, Father, that we would lay hands on the sick and they would recover, that we would cast out demons, Father, and get people set free so that they can proclaim the goodness of Yahweh in the land. Father, we pray, Father, as well, if our own lives have become complacent, Father, where we've become just concerned about our own needs and not the needs of others. Father, help us to not be so worldly minded, Father, but help us to be heavenly minded, Father, so that we can be a greater blessing upon this earth. Give us a holy boldness, Father, as the early believers had, Father. A holy boldness to proclaim your truth, even in the face of fire and lions and every kind of horrible torment, Father. They would not deny your name. Father, we ask for your mercy and grace upon this country. We pray for our president, Father. Father, we pray that he would grow in his knowledge of you, that he would be filled with your Spirit, that he would seek after your wisdom, Father, and not the wisdom of the world, Father, that you would surround him with godly counsel, Father. For Vice President Pence, Father, that he would be an encouragement and a teacher to President Trump, Father. Father, we thank you that for revival, Father, in the White House, revival in every form of government, Father, that our government will return back to the principles that this country was founded, in God we trust, Father. That your word can be proclaimed, that we continue to be a blessing, Father, to the world, to be a blessing to proclaim the truth. Father, help us to stand even in the midst of persecution and to be bold, not to compromise, not to assimilate in anything we say or do. Father, that we use our authority that you have given us in the name of Yeshua. Father, I pray, Father, for a new anointing to come upon us, a new boldness, a new strength, Father. Father, we pray for your mercy. Father, we pray what has been prophesied, Father, that you are not through with this country yet, Father. But I pray people will take heed, Father, and listen to your voice and repent, Father. Because if we repent, we will see revival and restoration in these end days, Father. But if we close our ears and if we refuse, Father, judgment will come. But Father, you know how to preserve the righteous. You know how to preserve your people so we don't fear, Father. Father, I thank you for your protection over every single one of us. I thank you for your healing power, for you are our healer, Father. I thank you for so many times you've healed us, you saved us, you protected us so we can continue to proclaim your truth. I thank you, Father, that you are raising up godly leaders in the body of Messiah who will not compromise, who will speak forth your truth, Father, that you will make their names be known, that you, Father, will promote them and raise them up, Father, not so they can be a celebrity, not so people can ooh and ah over who they were, but they would be humble men and women of God, that they would be humble and proclaim the truth, not so they can have names be known, but because they love you, Father. Father, I just praise you and thank you, Father, for that you would bring peace and unity among those who are true believers in Messiah, that we would stop cutting each other up, Father, with words, Father, but pray and intercede for one another. I pray for my brothers and sisters in the churches, Father, that truly love you, that they would come into the fullness of all you are, and their eyes would be opened, Father, to the whole truth of your word, to the Torah, Father, that we, Father, would become more sensitive to the needs of other people in the Messianic movement, Father, and be free from our arrogance and our pride, Father, and think that we know it all, Father, because none of us know it all. You're the only one that knows it all. Father, we know nothing.